on.
Blog Talk Radio. Jesus, for being my Lord and Savior, for being my friend,
for being the one to dust me off when I fall and pick me up. Always got a hand to help your daughter. Lord God, I thank you for another day. I thank you for your grace and for your mercy, for your love, for your kindness, for all that you do in my life, God. I give you thanks. I give you honor, and I give you hallelujah praise. For you are Jehovah Jireh. You are provider. You are everything, God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are, awesome and wonderful. So, Father God, as we get ready to go forth in this work, as we ask every day, Father God, please increase as we decrease. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts, Lord, our humble, humble hearts, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength, and you, Lord God, are our redeemer. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace, mercy, and love to save our sinful souls. Thank you for the Savior. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for being our Father God. Let this word touch hearts, minds, and spirits as you increase and we decrease. But you are our Savior. You are our Redeemer. And you live. You have risen. Thank you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Whew. Death could not hold him. My Savior, he got up. Mother, he got up.
Amen.
He got up. I can't say it enough. He got up. Woo, Jesus, thank you. He is risen. I remember as a child singing, he is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. And he is every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a mighty God we serve. And this morning, Mother, we are starting a new book. Yay! Hey, clap. Woo! New book, new
Amen.
Book. And we are in the book of Deuteronomy. And Deuteronomy is, to me, I personally think it's a great book. But also it's a sad book, because when we go into Deuteronomy, we know this is the last book that we will see Moses in, because he does not make it into the promised land. He does not make it into the book of Joshua, because Moses, the servant of God, is going to die. And, you know, it's poignant. It's one of those books that just kind of takes you there. It's like, okay, he takes us to the throne. And then he leaves it. You know, but the book of Deuteronomy is powerful because it has a lot of words to get our attention. It's long, too. You know, it's not a short book. We have about, I think, 30-some-odd chapters in this book, I believe, 34 chapters in the book of Deuteronomy. You know, but, you know, it tells you in Joshua, the first verse in Joshua, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And so we got 34 chapters left with Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, and then he is gone. And so as we go to what the Bible says, I know your Bible little book, and it says the author of Deuteronomy, traditionally attributed to Moses, an idea supported by Deuteronomy 31:9. Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests and unto all the elders of Israel. Chapter 34, recording Moses' death, was probably written by his successor, Joshua. And it says approximately 14 B.C. in 10 words or less, the book of Deuteronomy. Moses reminds the Israelites of their history and God's laws. With a name meaning second law, Deuteronomy records Moses' final words as the Israelites prepare to enter the promised land. 40 years have passed. Since God handed down his laws on Mount Sinai, and the entire generation that experienced that momentous event has died. So Moses reminds the new generation both of God's commands and of their national history as the ready for their entry in Canaan. The invasion will occur under Joshua, as Moses will only see the promised land from Mount Nebo. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there, and God buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. But no man knoweth of this specter, of his specter, until this day. That's in Deuteronomy 34:5-6. Moses was 120 years old when he died. And it says this, of some quotables from Deuteronomy, Mother Valerie. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Deuteronomy 6:4. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Deuteronomy 6:5. And that's what Jesus told everybody, right? "The Lord thy God is a jealous God among you." 6:15. And it tells us, the New Testament quotes this Deuteronomy dozens of times, including 3 from the story of Jesus, some temptation in the wilderness in Matthew. In Matthew 4:1-11, the Lord defeated Satan by restating Deuteronomy 8:3, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Deuteronomy 6:16, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." At Deuteronomy 6:13, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve." The Ten Commandments, most commonly found in Exodus 20, are reinforced in Deuteronomy 5. And you know, Mama, the top 10, that's my thing. You know, you got to know the top 10. When you know the top 10, you can do anything else. God is letting us know that is our instruction on how to live, is those top 10. Treating each other the way we need to be treated, by not killing, stealing, coveting, adultery, dishonoring our parents. Those are the things that we have to remember. And it says in Deuteronomy, make clear that God's rules and expectations aren't meant to limit and frustrate us, but instead to benefit us. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised." There promised thee in the land that flows with milk and honey. We got to remember who we belong to. We got to remember that God is in charge of everything, and we need to be obedient children of the Most High. And as we go forth this morning, what a word we have. And it says this, let me give you the scripture so everybody can write them down. We are in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and chapter 2. We are in the Psalms chapter 36, verses 1-6. Proverbs is chapter 12 of Proverbs, verses 4-6. And Mark chapter 16, verses 1-20. Which is where our title comes from this morning. I am so excited about the book of Deuteronomy. And it says this, "These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite south, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazaroth and Desa. It is 11 days journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. So that's where those, when we say 11 days to get there, this is where that comes from. It is 11 days journey from Horeb by way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea, or Barnea. And it says this, now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as a commandment to them after he had killed Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and Or, king of Bashan, who dwelt in Ashtaroth in Edra, on this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab. Moses began to explain this law, saying, the Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains, and in the lowland, in the south, and on the coast, sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. And I spoke to you at that time, saying, I alone am not able to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you, and here you are today as the stars of the heaven in multitude. May the Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times more numerous than you are, and bless you as he has promised you. How can I alone bear your problems and your burdens and your complaints? Choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have told us to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribe, wise and knowledgeable men, and made them heads over you, leaders of thousands, leaders of hundreds, leaders of fifties, leaders of tens, and officers to your tribes. Then I commanded your judges at that time, saying, hear the case between your brother, and judge righteously between a man and his brother or the stranger who is with him. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid any man's presence, for the judgment is God. The case that is too hard for you, bring to me, and I will hear it. And I commanded you at that time all the things which you should do. So we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God has commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea, and I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God has given us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us, saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God has given us. And it says, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tent and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Now understand this. What did Moses say? 11 days. 11 days, he said. And then it goes on to tell us, then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in the Egypt, before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God who went in the way before you to search out a place for you to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it as to him and his children. I am giving the land on which he walked because he wholly followed the Lord. The Lord was also angry with me for your sake, saying, even you shall not go in there. Joshua, the son of Nun, who stands before you, he shall go in there. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones and your children, who you say will be victims, who today have no knowledge of good and evil, they shall go in there to them. I will give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn and take your journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Then you answered and said to me, we have sinned against the Lord. We will go up and fight just as the Lord our God commanded us. And when every one of you had girded on his weapons of war, you were ready to go up into the mountain. And the Lord said to me, tell them, do not go up nor fight, for I'm not among you, lest you be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, yet you would not listen, but rebelled against the command of the Lord and presumptuously went up into the mountain. And the Amorites who dwelt in that mountain came out against you and chased you as bees do and drove you back from Sodom Harma. Then you returned and wept before the Lord, but the Lord would not listen to your voice nor give ear to you. God didn't play with rebellion back then. God did not play because we didn't have Jesus interceding for us. We did not have Jesus who came to this earth, who died for us, who rose for us, who sits on the right hand of his Father for us. We didn't have that then. Yes, Jesus helped. Yes, Jesus came. Yes, Jesus was in the fiery furnace. Yes, Jesus was in the den of lions. Yes, Jesus was with David all through his journey running from Saul. Jesus was always there. And he was there in the wilderness with them too. But understand, it was not his time to intercede for these rebellious people. It was not his time to die for them because they were hard-hearted and hard-headed. And then go presumptuously, well, we're going to go and we're going to get our land. After you done rebelled against God, God said, not today. Not today. I'm not with you. And we don't want to ever have a situation in our life where God is not with. We don't want to have that. We want him to be with us always. And then as we go into the word again, it says, so you remained in Kadesh many days according to the days that you spent there. Then we turned and journeyed into the wilderness of the way of the Red Sea as the Lord spoke to me. And we skirted Mount Sur for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, you have skirted this mountain long enough, turn northward, and command the people, saying, you are about to pass through the valley of your brothers, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. Therefore, watch yourselves carefully. Do not meddle with them, for I will not give you any of their land. No, not so much as one footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water from them with money that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows your trudging through the great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Ooh. He has been with you and you have lacked nothing. We got to remember, we lack nothing when the Lord is with us. Even if what you have is a little, you lack nothing. And then it says, and when we pass beyond our brothers, the descendants of Esau, who dwell in Seir, away from the road of the plain, away from Elath and Ezion Geber, we turned and passed by way of the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, do not harass Moab, nor contend with them in battle, for I will not give you any of that land as a possession, because I have given earth to the descendants of Lot as a possession. The Emmon that had dwelt there in times past, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. They were also regarded as giants like the Anakim, but the Moabites called them Emmon. The Horites formerly dwelt in Seir, but the descendants of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them, and dwelt in their place, and just as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave them. Now arise and cross over the valley of Zered. So we crossed over the valley of Zered. And the time we took to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the valley of Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war was consumed from the midst of the camp, just as the Lord had sworn to them. For indeed, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from the midst of the camp until they were consumed. So it was when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people that the Lord spoke to me, saying, this day you are to cross over at Ur, the boundary of Moab. And when you come near the people of Ammon, do not harass them or meddle with them, for I will not give you any of the land of the people of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the descendants of Lot as a possession. That was also regarded as the land of giants. Giants formerly dwelt there, but the Amorites called them Zamzumim, a people as great and numerous and tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and dwelt in their place, just as he has done for the descendants of Esau who dwell in Seir. When he destroyed the Horites from before them, they dispossessed them and dwelt in the place even to this day. And Avon, who dwell in villages as far as Gaza, which we're dealing with now, and the Avon, who dwelt in villages as far as Gaza, the Capitorium, who came from Capitol, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. Rise, take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hand Shihon, the Amorite king. Heshbon and his land began to possess it and engage him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. And I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kadesh Moth, the Shihon king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, let me pass through your land. I will keep strictly to the road, and I will turn neither to the right nor to the left. You shall sell me food for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, just as the descendants of Esau, who dwell in Sodom, and the Moabites, who dwell in Ur, did for me until I crossed the Jordan to the land which the Lord our God has given us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass through, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into your hand as it is this day. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to give Sihon and its land over to you. Begin to possess it, that you may inherit its land. Then Sihon and all his people came out against us to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him over to us, so we defeated him, his sons, and all his people. We took all his cities at that time, and we utterly destroyed the men, women, and little ones of every city. We left none remaining. We took only the livestock that plundered for ourselves, with the small of the cities which we took, from Aroer, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, and from that city is in that ravine as far as Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us. The Lord our God delivered all of us. Only you did not go near the land of the people of the Ammon, anywhere along the river Jabbok, or to the cities of the mountains, or wherever the Lord our God had forbidden us. So as the disobedient passed on, the new generation were obedient to God. And as we'll see in the book of Joshua, they did not sin. This group of children that grew up in the wilderness, that crossed into the promised land, did not sin against God. As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They did. But after Joshua died, everything was what it was. They lost their minds again and started sinning just like the ancestors. But we got to choose this day. Do we believe that he has risen, that he's not dead, that our Savior lives? Do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? He's the giver of life, as Pastor Wright said. We got to believe in Jesus. We got to believe that he is the Son of God. We got to believe that he loves us more than we love ourselves. We got to believe. And it goes on to tell us, choose wise, understanding, and knowledgeable men from among your tribes, and I will make them heads over you. The kingdom of God cannot advance as it should without wise, understanding, and knowledgeable leaders filled with the Spirit of God. We do not move forward in godliness alone. We need each other. I need you, Mother Valerie. I need
you. Amen.
I need you. Because just think, had I not had a Mother Valerie, there would not have been a show on yesterday. Because I was working. You know, I was doing my civic duty as an election judge. And I did do it. And I do not walk in fear. We have had
Amen.
A shortage of election judges because of the foolishness of 2020, where people are afraid to work the polls, especially in cities, because of threats to their life. Come on. Folks can't do their civic duty because of folks trying to be dictators. We've got to pray. We've got to pray for God to eliminate foolishness in people, that he will take the blinders off of their eyes. And once we go into the word of God in Deuteronomy 1:30, the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. We don't walk in fear. We walk in faith because God fights for us. Ever since the Garden of Eden, one of Satan's most successful tactics has been to get God's people to believe that the Lord is not really loving and gracious. You hear it all the time with the generation who has not been in church. Well, why should I serve a God that kills women and babies? Why should I serve a vindictive God? Why should I serve a God that doesn't care about anybody, joy to whole people and nations. And he did this and he did that. Yes, he did. But I tell you one thing. He is a loving and faithful God. Because I ask any of you, would you give your child for the sins of the world? Would you send your son to know that he is going to die for people that don't even like him? Would you send your son to die on a cross to take away the sacrifice of all kind of animals, lambs, rams, doves, turtle doves, pigeons? Oh, let's not forget lambs and goats and every kind of thing. The goat was the sin offering. Come on now. Would you do it? I wouldn't. I wouldn't want my sons to die for wicked people. No, that would be my flesh. But God is not a God of flesh. And he took all of this. Yes, he did all the things you say. Yes, he destroyed whole nations of people that not one of them exists anymore. But I tell you this, all of that was so he could send his son for the faithful, for the righteous. Jesus said, I came for the sinner. He didn't come for me. He didn't come for Mother Valley because we try to be righteous. But I tell you this, when I my sinful self tore up from the floor, I was. And he came for me that I may have an opportunity to live, an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to turn 65 years old. I'm grateful, and I'm not afraid to tell you how old I am. Yes, for some, I'm a senior citizen, but to God, I'm a young kid. Hallelujah. I'm pretty young, Mother. You might be 80. But to God, you are young too. We are young. Amen. We are awesome. We are mighty women of God. And we are not going to let age is what we say. Age is not who we are. We are sons and daughters of God. And we are blessed beyond measure to call him Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Father of all creation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And this is what we must understand. However, the Lord is not only with us. He also goes ahead of us to prepare our way and give us success. God fights our battle. Did he not fight for us? He's fought for us so many times. He's asked what it was happening when they held her Aaron held up the arms of Moses so he could hold that staff up. Joshua and the men of Israel were winning the battle. But when his hand went down, when he was trying to do it on his own, they started to lose. So God sent him help. Help on the left, help on the right to hold him up so the battle was won. For the battles are not ours. They are the Lord's. And as we go into Deuteronomy 2 and 7, for these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Come on now. He gave them manna from heaven so they had bread to eat. He gave them quail so they had meat. He gave them water from the rock. Come on now. Don't tell me our daddy God can't feed us, can't clothe us. Not one shoe wore out, not one garment wore out in 40 years. Come on. We got to tell God thank you. And says, even though Israel ended up in the wilderness because of their disobedience, they would not have been there had they just went on and walked on in. 11 days had opportunity to go in and instead whined and complained and didn't want to do what God said do. When God said do it, instead, they were going to be presumptuous and do it on their own and got beat up. Come on now. Run right back down that hill. And as we go into the word, it says, even though Israel ended up in the wilderness because of their disobedience, even there, God blessed his people and gave them everything they needed, his temper, even his justice, with grace. God is gracious, and he's loving, and he's kind, and don't let anybody tell you different. We know who our Father is. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. This girl is still up and ready to go. I'm on fire this morning. Woo! Thank you,
Amen.
God, for this mighty word. He is risen. Our Savior is risen, Mother. He is
Amen.
Not here. He is not in a tomb. Woo! Hallelujah. He is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He was with them in the wilderness. He was there in the fire. He was there in the clouds. Hallelujah. Tell God thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Mother Valerie, if I turn it over to you.
Good morning, people of God. Good morning, Pastor Bridget. This is truly a beautiful time of year. It's Easter. He's risen. He's not here. He's not here. He's not in the grave. Couldn't no grave hold that body down. He got up. And if he got up, we're going to get up. God is a good God all the time. I'm coming out of Psalms 36, 1 and 6. An article within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes. When he finds out his iniquity, when he hates the word of his mouth, or wickedness and deceit, he seeks to be wise and to do good. He devised wickedness on his bed, set himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Life lesson. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. God loves to show mercy and remains eternally trustworthy to do exactly what he has promised. If he seems to delay in working on your behalf, wait. Wait for him. He will never be unfaithful to you. Again, I say wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait. You have to wait. He's not like a microwave. Time you say something, it comes to pass. Even in a microwave, you have to wait. So wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Proverbs 12, 4 and 6. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. But she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. The thought of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. Words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the up deliver them. Amen. But the counsel of the wicked are deceitful. Always go to the throne and not the phone. Ask God what to do. He'll show you which way to go and what to do. Mark 16, 1 and 20. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him very early in the morning on the first day of the week. They came to the tomb where the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, who will roll the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. Stone had been rolled away. And the title, he is risen, he's not here. For it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. The reason he said and Peter is because Peter had denied the Lord three times, and he thought God Jesus didn't want anything to do with him. And then and the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee, that there you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and was amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those that had been with him as they moaned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. They didn't believe. They just thought, well, woman, you just grieving and you're talking nonsense. They didn't believe what she said. And when they should have, but they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest. But they did not believe them either. It said out of the mouth of two or three, a thing is established. I mean, they were disciples, and they went and told them. But they did not believe them either. To the 11, as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And I wonder why. I mean, it says out of the mouth of two, and people told them he had risen. I guess they didn't believe that anybody could come back from the dead. But can no grave hold that body down? It can't. Oh, death, where is your sting? Can no grave hold that body down? And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. They drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And that's why we pray for the sick, because Jesus took 39 stripes for the healing of the nation. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. I think Jesus was on the earth after he had risen. I think this is right, 40 days. And they seen him go up into heaven. And it said the same way he went up into heaven, he's coming back, but he'll be on a white horse. He's coming back in glory. It won't be like it was when he was crucified. They did so many things to that body. And like I said, I wonder why so many different things happen. I know the 39 stripes are for the healing of the nation, but for people to spit in his face, to mock him, to mock a person while they're dying, laughing, and saying, come down from the cross, we'll believe you, that they just did. You know, God is good, merciful, and kind. That's why we have to repent, ask God to forgive us for our sins, knowingly and unknowingly. I mean, God is so good, he forgives us for all those silly different things that we do. Life lessons, Mark 16 and 8. They went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they were trembling and were amazed. The first hours after the resurrection were anything but a triumph display of faith and courage, though Jesus had told them repeatedly that he would rise from the dead. He told them that he was coming back, but I guess they couldn't comprehend, they couldn't understand. Nothing like this had ever happened in their lifetime. How can somebody die and come back from the dead? But he kept telling them repeatedly that he was coming back. None of the Lord's disciples imagined that he would really come back. Fear reigned in them as long as they doubted. Our responsibility is always to remain faithful when things look their darkest, because we know that God is going to redeem the situation in a manner exceedingly abundantly of all that we ask or think. God's work will always amaze us, so we must wait for it patiently and expectantly. God's work, I mean, when we see God, like I said before, I see God in everything, everything that we do, everywhere we go. I see God. I see God in the sunrise, the sunset, the birds of all. I see God inside of me. I see God when I wake up in the morning. I don't feel like getting out of bed. And ask the Lord is my God and my strength. And he put strength in my legs and helped me to move. I see God when I swallow and the food goes down correctly. I see God in every single thing I do. I see God. And God is a good God. He's good all the time. And you know what? He made us. We didn't make ourselves. God is here, and he's here with us. And, you know, disobedience is better to obey. Now, he told the children of Israel to go up. And they rebelled. They wouldn't go up. And then they told God, well, God, you know, we don't sin against you. Now we're going to go up. Do not go up because I'm not with you. And they disobeyed again. We're going up anyway. We're going to do it our way. Doing it your way could be a dead way. And they were beaten down because they disobeyed. I mean, why couldn't they just go up when God told them to go up? If he said go to the left, go to the left. If he said go to the right, go to the right. You will live. But no, we're not going up. We're not. And then when they decided when they wanted to go up, then they went up. You can't do it like that. Answers to life's questions. What tools has God provided to help me share my faith? Mark 16:15-16. The only way to reach spiritually blind captives and dead people is through the divine work of Almighty God, who is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We are his tools. He is the power. Apostle Paul said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. We therefore have three supernatural change agents to help share our faith. Power. The gospel of God opens blind eyes, rescues the captives, and revives the dead. We share our faith by declaring that Christ died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again from the dead. Being the non-Christian to consider Jesus the core of saving faith, any rejection you experience thus centers on Christ, not you. Do not attempt to share your faith without prayer. Make sure that you depend on the power of God through the Holy Spirit. Love. The greatest force on earth is love. You know, they say you can't take nothing with you. You can't take money, clothes. You can't take anything with you when we leave here. The greatest force on earth is love. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And you can't have love for one another unless you love yourself. You got to love yourself in order to have love for somebody else. We can showcase the love of God is uncounted, partial way. Perhaps you could keep a couple's children in order to give them a special night out or invite them over for dinner or take them food during sickness. Having love through service, we can also love in word. That means we encourage, we praise, point out the positive qualities of our lost friend. Okay, a sound mind. The Christian faith is based on facts. It's really based on facts, not fiction. As the Christian apologist Josh McDonald says, my heart cannot rejoice in what my mind rejects. Thus, sharing our faith doesn't mean we are unreasonable or irrational. Rather, we offer the trustworthy testimony of the Scripture. Such evidence includes the fact of the resurrection. The resurrection is indeed a concrete historical fact. He is risen. He's not here. He's not here. The fact of fulfilled scripture, literally hundreds of Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in the New Testament, including many details of Jesus' birth, life, death, and resurrection. The fact that manuscripts give evidence. Thousands of ancient manuscripts attest to the reliability of the Bible. Evidence have consistently verified the historical data of the Bible. The Bible is true. The Bible is true. Scientists have even said that it's true. The Bible is true. He is risen and he's not here. If you want to be saved, all you got to do is confess your sins. Ask God to forgive you. Let him know that you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And tell him that you believe in his son. You believe in him and that you love him. And that you believe the Bible, that you know that the Bible is real. And if you don't believe God is real, ask God to show himself to you. And you know what? This great God who made the heaven and the earth, he's real. He will show himself to anybody that really wants to know him. He is risen. He's not dead. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Gretchen. God is just good.
Oh, come on now. Like I said, there is nothing like the word of God. He will take you to the highest heights, to the deepest depths. He will take you everywhere you need to go. God is perfect. He is risen. Thank you, Jesus. You are risen. You are not here. You are in the heavens. You sit on the right hand of the Father every moment, every hour, every second, every millisecond, interceding for us. And all I can say is thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace, for your mercy, for your love, for your kindness, for just being who you are, an awesome and mighty God. Whew, Mother, I'm just filled up. And I thank God for this time we have spent together in his word. May his word touch hearts. May his word touch minds. May his word touch spirits. May those that do not know Jesus get to know him today. And Mother Valerie, that's all we have this morning. If there is anyone that has a word from God that you would like to share, you have about a minute to do it. If not, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. May he shine his face upon us and give us peace. For he is the Lord God Almighty who loves us more than we could ever imagine. Be blessed, family, and know that God is good and that he's not just good sometimes. He's good all the time. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Mother Valerie, again, for a great show on yesterday. Thank you all for supporting Mother Valerie as she went forth. That it may happen again. I'm just letting you know. So I just want to say thank you to an awesome woman of God who has stepped up and stepped in and is doing awesome for the Lord. So thank you, God, for all of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Again, a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, before we get out of here. And the word for today is this. When you honor God first, come on now, everything else will fall into place. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Come on now. Sister Carolyn was all up in the message, Mother. When you honor God first, everything else will fall into place. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And people of God, family, it's a wrap. Thank you, Mother Rita.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.